Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's podcast is presented by Pago. Pago is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Pago. Apply today to become a member of it and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's Pago.co at Pogo.co, and be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Pago section of this application.
Hello everyone, this is Brandon with the ParaUnity Podcast, and you are listening to the Monster Legends Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Monster Legend Podcast. I'm your host Tanner, and this week we're in the province of Manitoba. Manitoba. So what happened in Manitoba? Let's go through a little timeline of events in Manitoba. In 1610, Henry Hudson discovers Hudson Bay. 1612, Thomas Button discovers Nelson River. In 1619, Jens Munnik enters Churchill Harbor. In 1631, Luke Fox explores the west coast of Hudson Bay. Thomas James Voyage rediscovers James's Bay. In 1668, Radisson and Grosseteer sail for Hudson Bay. In 1670, Hudson's Bay Company is incorporated and chartered granted by Charles II. 1684 was the founding of York Factory. In 1685, La Vérendrye born at Three Rivers. In 1690, Henry Kelsey sets out for the prairies. 1691, Henry Kelsey first sees the buffalo. In 1697, Hudson Bay Company loses all posts except for Port Albany to French. In 1713, Hudson's Bay Company posts returned by Treaty of Utrecht. 1731, La Vérendrye sets out for his first journey west. 1734, La Jemeraye advances to the Red River for La Vérendrye. 1736, La Vérendrye men killed at Massacre Island. 1738, La Vérendrye. It's a fork of red, horse of red, and Assiniboine rivers. 1742, founding of Fort Dauphin. 1754, Anthony Henday sets out to explore the interior. On the 1763, the Northwest passes to British through the Treaty of Paris. 1765 to 1766, first British traders from Montreal appear in the West. 1772, Samuel Hearne sets out for the Prince of Wales Fort for Coppermine River. 1774, Samuel Hearne builds Cumberland House on Sasquatch River. 1784, Northwest Company organized at Montreal. 1790, Hudson Bay Company established Swan Lake House in Swan River District.
So, like, the first century,
like, a lot of, like, trade posts going up and down. Seems like it. 1793, Herbert Grant Sr. found a trading post for Northwest Company on the Assiniboine River, 3 miles above the Souris River's mouth. Hudson Bay Company penetrates as far south as the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. Brandon House is founded on the Assiniboine, 3 miles above the Northwest Company's post. 1795, Ash House, established by Northwest Company, is a in the vicinity of Section 12, Township 6, Range 24W1. 1797, David Thomas reaches the Souris River. 1797 to 1798, first post established at Pennon Bay by Charles Soboles for the Northwest Company. 1801, Alexander Henry the Younger reaches the forks of the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. 1810, Fort on Gibraltar, that was for the Northwest Company at the forks of the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. 1811, Hudson Bay Company grants Assiniboine to Lord Selkirk. Oh, that one. You guys watch that one series, like on Netflix, Trappers and stuff. It had, what's the face in it? Find it quick. Andrew, or something like that. Crazy. Oh, my God. Frontier. Yeah. It's a great show. Oh my friend. There's a Kali in it. Great Kali guy. Aquaman. Great name. Rivers. That's all. They great. 1812. First settlers reach the forks. 1815. Solomon's destroyed. Damn, only 4 years later. This is just fucking blown up. That sucks, dude. Oh. 1816, Battle of Seven Oaks. 1817, Lord Stark's men captured Fort Douglas. In 1818, first Roman Catholic missionaries reached Selk Solomon and the Church established in St. Boniface. In 1820, first Anglican missionary John West arrives at Selk Solomon. 1821, amalgamation of the fur companies, Northwest Company and Hudson Bay Company. 1922, Fort Walter renamed Fort Garry, honoring Nicholas Garry, who came from London to supervise the regeneration of the new company. In 1823, the colony's Fort Douglas removed its new position alongside Fort Garry. In 1824, St. John's First Anglican Church built Cuthbert Grant found Granttown, now St. Francis Xavier of the White House, White Horse. 1906, Great Flood almost destroys the Selk Solomon. George Simpson appointed acting governor in chief of Rivers Land, first St. Andrew's Church erected. In 1834, Hudson Bay Company purchases and takes over the colony in Assabonia settlement from the heirs of Lord Selk. Oh, what the fuck, the MOBA. Okay, 1835, Reverend Cochran chooses a site for Indian village at St. Peter's, first meeting of Reorganized Council of Assabonia. 1836, Thomas Simpson sets out to explore the Arctic coast. 1839, George Simpson appointed governor of Rupert's Land. In 1840, Reverend James Evans, first Methodist missionary to the West, arrives at Norway House. In 1844, trade with St. Paul opens a Lewis rail born at St. Boniface. In 1845, Archbishop Pack arrives at St. Boniface. In 1846, arrival of British troops who were to be stationed in the colony. Oh man. Alright. 1849, the Sawyer Trial. Question of the Hammett's right to free trade in furs was the issue. Bishop David Anderson arrives in the cell of Solomon. In 1850, the Battle of Grand Coteau between the Sioux and Buffalo Hunters from Red River took place on the Surf Plains not far from the Turtle Mountain. In 1851, the Reverend John Black, Solomon's first Presbyterian minister, arrives in the West. Archdeacon Cochran establishes a settlement at Portage La Paix. 1852, severe flood injures the settlement. A Canadian Presbyterian Church is built. In 1854, the Northwester, first newspaper in the West, is published. That's cool. 1856, Alexander Ross publishes his history, the Red River Settlement. In 1859, first steamboat, Anson Northup arrives at Upper Fort Garry. In 1860, John Shultz arrives from the east to win the west for Canada. In 1863, arrival of a large number of Sioux people after the Minnesota Massacre. In 1868, was the Red River Famine. In 1869 to 1870, Red River disperses. Louis Riel and his followers seize Upper Fort Garry and set up a provisional government. In 1870, the act creating the province of Manitoba and the Dominion of Canada is passed. The first lieutenant governor, A.G. Archibald, arrives, elected for first legislature of Manitoba. In 1871, first sessions, the first Manitoba legislature opened. Lieutenant governor Archibald signs a treaty with indigenous peoples, attempted Fenian raid at Fort Dare. First public schools opened in Winnipeg. First telegram sent from Manitoba. First issue of the Manitoba Free Press appears. A very busy year, 1871. Lots of stuff happening. 1873, first street lights in Winnipeg. Act establishing Royal Northwest Mounted Police, predecessor of the Grand Canadian Mounted Police, is passed. First city of Winnipeg is incorporated. What's that mean, incorporated? Incorporated mean? Is that like it comes like it's officially a city?
Are you looking for a new adventure? Did you ever want to visit the city where all your nightmares reside? Well, you're in luck. Join us, your tour guides, Christine and Jen, to visit Nopeville, where you will be personally escorted on an all-inclusive trip through the city and see all possibilities of terror and fright.
You'll see all sorts of things on your tours, including, but definitely not limited to, the paranormal, true crime, the supernatural, and more. If you're into all that and enjoy a little dark humor, book your tour today and nope right along with us. Check us out on our website at nopevillepodcast.com to see where you can listen to Nopeville today.
Unfortunately, is the incorporation is a legal process used to form a corporate entity or company. Corporations are all, like, it's like legally become city. Okay, first part of 1874, first party of Mennonites arrived from Russia. 1875, first Icelandic party of settlers arrives. 1876, legislative council of Manitoba is abolished. First wheat is shipped out of Manitoba. 1877, University of Manitoba received its charter. First railway locomotive arrives in St. Boniface. First shipment of wheat directed to Europe. And first telephone installed in Winnipeg. Well, 1878, first train from St. Boniface to St. Paul's opens the west. 1879, first mail to travel by train leaves Winnipeg. And the Historical and Scientific Society of Manitoba is founded. In 1881, the boundaries of Manitoba extended. Contracts for building the Canadian Pacific Railway is signed, and the first train crossed the Louise Bridge. In 1881. In 1882, first delivery of letters in Winnipeg. First electric light appears on Main Street in Winnipeg. In 1884, Red River Expedition leaves for service in Egypt. And the first block of pavement laid in Winnipeg. That's crazy. 1885, engagements at Fish Creek, engagement at Cutnuff Creek, battle at Batouche, capture of Big Bear, and Louis Regal is executed at Regina. In 1889, first curling bonspiel is held in Winnipeg. In 1890, dual system of schools is abolished. In 1892, first two Ukrainians reach Winnipeg, and the first electric streetcars in Winnipeg. Well, that's crazy. In 1897, the Lower Greenway settlement. In 1901, Brandon College, professor of Brandon University, received its charter, and the first motor car owned by Professor Kendrick appears on the streets of Winnipeg. Ooh. In 1906, streetcars began to run on Sunday, and the department store of Timothy Eaton Company opens in Winnipeg. In 1907, the telephone system is purchased by the Manitoba government. What? In 1910, the first boat passes through the St. Andrew's Lock. An erection begins at two technical high schools, Kelvin High School and St. John's High School. Whoa, that's crazy. That's it. Right, I wonder if you're like St. John's and Kelvin are like schools. That'd be pretty cool. It should be. Take off the boat. 1912, new boundaries of Manitoba are announced. In 1913, work begins on a pipeline to bring drinking water to Winnipeg from Shoal Lake. In 1914, entire Hudson Bay Company Railway is under contract. In 1916, women's suffrage bill is given third reading in the Manitoba legislature, leading to the right of Manitoba women to vote. Compulsory Education Act comes into force. 1918, ban on public meetings only but that flu epidemic, and the Armistice Day includes the First World War. 1910, opens our first Manitoba Musical Festival, and the Winnipeg General Strike. In 1920, Manitoba's new scandal plague. A legislative building opens. What? Prohibition is repealed and the Liquor Control Commission is established. And first provisional election in Manitoba where proportional voting was used to select 10 members for the Winnipeg Constitution. Because I can talk good. I can't. 1923. First broadcast by CKY radio operated by the Manitoba Telephone System. In 1929, Hudson Bay Railway to Church is completed. In 1930, original control of Manitoba's natural resources are transferred by the federal government. What the fuck? 1935, Canadian Wheat Board is established with headquarters at Winnipeg. 1942, Rural Electrification Program and the Manitoba Power Commission begins. In 1950, severe flooding throughout the Red River Valley, including the downtown area of Winnipeg, leading to the construction of the Red River floodway. In 1951, first commercial production of oil in the Vernon area. In 1952, indigenous people gained the right to vote in Manitoba. In 1954, first television broadcast by CBC Winnipeg. In 1956, massive nickel ore body discovered in northern Manitoba, leading to the establishment of Thompson. In 1959, construction of Polo Park processed for its major shopping mall. In 1963, Thelma Forbes is elected the first female speaker of the Manitoba legislature. That's cool. And Margaret Conance is elected the first female member of parliament from Manitoba. Whoa. Cool. 1966, official opening of the Red River floodway. 1967, provincial sales tax is introduced and Pan American Games are hosted in Winnipeg. Brandon College becomes Brandon University. United College becomes the University. 1969, Edward Schreyer from Prince Canada's first NDP government. 1970, Manitoba Century is commemorated by royal visit by Queen Elizabeth II. 1972, several urban and rural municipalities unite to form the modern day city of Winnipeg. The Manitoba Police Insurance Corporation begins providing all-mail insurance to replace private insurance. The Winnipeg Jets, led by Bobby Hall, played the first season in the World Hockey Association. In 1974, first Winnipeg Folk Festival in Birds Hill Park. Whoa. Whoa. What's happening? I don't know. But... oh my god. Birds Hill. The trip seen a lot of like trade and posts going up. Now in the 20th century, we've got colleges and cities going up and still getting electricity, and it's great. Oh, 1976, Royal Canadian Mint opens in Winnipeg. What? They take them like all that time to find a freaking put your own money. 1979. Edward Schreyer becomes Canada's 22nd Governor General. Supreme Court of Canada declares Manitoba's official language act to be invalid, resulting in the requirement to restore French language service. 1980, Winnipeg Tribune closes. What? 1981, Pearl McConnell becomes Manitoba's first female lieutenant governor. 1990, MLA Elijah Harper refuses to allow debate on the Meech Lake Constitutional Accord in the Manitoba legislature, leading to the demise of the proposed legislation. In 1993, Johan Dumont becomes Manitoba's first Metis Lieutenant Governor. 2002, Agent's Department store building in downtown Winnipeg is demolished to make way for a sports arena. In 2011, National Hockey returns to Winnipeg with purchase of a franchise by the Chipman family. In 2012, 10-digit telephone numbers are required in Manitoba. I got that from the Manitoba Historical Society. Pretty cool, right? I can't find much on, but I can...
Hey guys, this is Heather and Kristen, the hosts of Sinister Sweethearts podcast, and we want to share with you a little bit about our show.
If you're looking for fun banter between old college sweetmates about all things paranormal, sinister, weird, and generally creepy, check out our podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player.
Yeah. Anyway, monsters. So be careful. But yeah, it seems like Manitoba went through like a lot of trades with the May company and the other fucking name company. A lot of trade posts going up, down, and see like the 18th, 19th, and up to the 20th century, 19th century, then around the turn of the 20th century, they started like getting more focused to like building up their stuff and getting better education and stuff. Anyway, monsters, cryptids. I don't find much. I'll probably be looking at this while I'm doing this. Manipogo is the one I found. In Canadian folklore, the Manipogo is a lake monster said to live in Lake Manitoba, Manitoba, Canada. The creature was dubbed Manipogo in 1960, a name echoing British Columbia's Ogopogo. There's also a Lake Winnipego sea monster called Winnipego, though possibly to be the same creature as the lakes are connected. There's a provincial park on the west shore of Lake Manitoba named Manipogo Provincial Park. St. Lawrence, a community on the southeast shores of Lake Manitoba, holds a Manipogo festival the first week of March every year. People have claimed to have seen the lake monster since the 1800s. The local native population has legends of serpent-like creatures in Lake Manitoba going back hundreds of years. Whoa, that's crazy. A group of 17 witnesses, all reportedly strangers to one another, claimed to have spotted three Manipogos swimming together. Oh. 17 people saw seven. That's crazy. Someone had a camera. Let's see the camera. Imagine if people had like cameras on back then. That'd be crazy. Early 1960s. Professor James A. McLeod of Manitoba University investigated the creature by trying to locate its remains. There's a breeding population in the lake. Carcasses and bones should remain after death. McLeod found none. Here's some sightings of the Manipogo. In 1909, Hudson Bay Company fur trader Valentine McKay reports seeing a massive creature in Cedar Lake. In 1935, Timber Inspector C.F. Ross and friends saw the creature. On its head was a single horn, and its head was small and flat. To them, it looked very much like a dinosaur. In 1948, C.P. Alark reported that some sort of creature rose 6 feet out of the lake and gave a prehistoric type of dinosaur cry. That's cool. In 1957, Louis Belcher and Eddie Nipanik saw a giant serpent-like creature in the lake. In 1962, two fishermen, Richard Benson and John Combell, saw a large creature like a serpent or giant snake 60 yards away from their boat. Pretty close. 1960s. Around the 1960s, Mr. and Mrs. Paul saw a reptile-like beast surfacing about 30 feet from their boat. Ooh, getting a little bit more curious now. 1989, Sean Smith and family visiting from Minneapolis on a cabin trip stayed at a shallow point off Highway Number 6 on Lake Manitoba and saw what he described as many humps in the lake about 80 feet offshore. In 1997, several reports by cross-country campers from Quebec staying at Lundar Beach campground saw what appeared to be a large reptile head rise and fall in the water, several hundred feet, 700 feet off of shore. Swimmers were evacuated from the water. Head only appeared one time, dismissed as a floating log, but no log was seen afterwards. In 2004, commercial fisherman Keith Hayden, originally from Newfoundland, reported several of his fishing nets on Lake Manitoba near the Narrows one day to be torn up by what seemed like an ocean shark or killer whale. Like the fish that were in the nets were not nibbled on, but actually torn in half, but it seemed like huge bites. Crazy. 2009, several residents at Twin Lake Beach reported seeing several humps a few hundred yards from their lake cottages. Their photos were taken. 2011, many sightings of several humps emerging and then submerging, seen offshore at locations like Marshy Point, Scotch Bay, and Lortanian Beach by security personnel trolling flooded cottage at home in home areas. Manitoba was featured on an episode of the television documentary series Northern Mysteries. Ooh. New beans. Another thing I found was the falcon like it's. The falcon like it's in, by the editors of Publication International LTD. Find that science.howstuffworks.com. Stefan Milak was searching. Was searching for minerals along Falcon Lake, 80 miles east of Winnipeg, Manitoba, on May 20th, 1967, when he heard the cackling of geese. Looking up in the early afternoon sky, he saw two glowing oil-shaped objects on a steep, swift descent. One abruptly stopped its downward flight, of the other continue, landing on a flat rock outcropping 160 feet away. Malik carefully approached the strange craft, which looked like a bowl with a dome on it, 40 feet wide and 15 feet high. It emitted a humming sound and sulfur stench. On the bottom half, just below the rim of the bowl, was a door-like opening from which muffled voices emanated. It sounded like humans, he reported. I was able to make out two distinct voices, one with a higher pitch than the other. Thinking he was dealing with a terrestrial craft, he addressed the speaker in several languages, asking if he could help. He got no answer. He put his head through the opening into the interior, seeing only a maze of lights. At the moment, the door panels set across and sealed the opening. As Malak stepped back, just the vehicle of Steger, it was so hot that it burned his gloves. Suddenly, the object rose, expelling hot air through the grid-like vent, causing Malik's shirt to erupt into flames. An attack of nausea overtook him. When doctors examined Malik in a Winnipeg hospital a few hours later, they noted a dramatic burn pattern all across his chest, exactly like the grid Malik had described on the UFO's underside. Malik's health problems continued and brought to Minnesota's Mayo Clinic next year. Investigations by officials and civilian bodies uncovered no evidence of a UFO hoax. As late as 1975, a member of the police of the Canadian Parliament complained that the government had not released its findings. Crazy. So, that's crazy. My poor Steven. Looking for minerals, doing his mineral stuff, and he's out there gets torn up by a CFO. Dang. Well, that'll be it for this episode. You know, I'll take a break and I'm gonna troll. Yeah, I'm gonna take a break. Have a good one. Merry Christmas. Hope you had a great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monster Legend Podcast. Hope you were able to find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We also have our own website at monsterlegendpodcast.com. If you'll be so kind to please leave a review and subscribe and let me know what I can do to make this show better for you. If you have any stories you'd like to submit or you'd like to be a guest, send me an email or a DM. But I hope you do one thing that's really important and have a great day. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.